Father, as we come right now to your holy word, once again to the book of Nahum, to understand what you have to say to us, we thank you that you have given us your words as a feast to be enjoyed slowly, thoughtfully, meditatively, but also powerfully so that we can live them out. So Father, as we spend time to feast upon your holy scriptures, open our eyes to the wonder of your word. Help us to learn new things from you and to be challenged again by your Holy Scripture. Guard me from error and open our hearts again to the delight of your truth. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. There are all kinds of scams these days. Do you know that there are scams specifically designed for pastors? I received an email not too long ago. It was an invitation to preach at a conference in London. The location of the conference was listed on the email. Even the pastor's name was listed on the email. But two things about the email made me very, very uncomfortable. The first is the remuneration. The email says that the church will pay me $20,000 just to speak at the conference. I know I'm good, but I don't think I'm that good. So that was the first red flag. And then secondly, the email says that I have to apply for a working visa to speak in London. And they gave me a government website. And in order to apply for this visa, you have to pay a deposit of $2,000 for the visa. I have never heard of applying for a visa just to speak at a conference for a week. So that was the second red flag. I look up the internet, the church is real, the name of the pastor is real, everything seems legit, but I was still uncomfortable. So I cut off the second paragraph of the email. Usually people change the first paragraph, so there's no point cutting that. There's a second paragraph of the email, and I cut off the second paragraph of the email, and I paste it on Google, and voila, the truth came to light. Hundreds of pastors apparently have been invited to speak at this conference too. and the church was real, the pastor was real, but there was no such conference. They want to scam you for the $2,000 for the visa. It was a scam. And there were quite a number of pastors who were writing on the internet and they were complaining about this. Some retired pastors have been scammed out of their retirement savings just because they wanted to speak at this conference. But why was this scam successful? Why did many pastors fall into this scam? Because the scammers know that pastors are usually not tempted by money or sex, but many pastors have a weakness. We want to be recognized. We want to be the speaker of huge conferences. You see, God has created within our hearts a yearning for significance. Unlike animals who live from day to day, and as long as they have food to eat and they have their walks, they don't care. But as human beings, we want our lives to be significant. But in our sinfulness, what have we done? We have done one of two things. We have looked to either the wrong things for significance, like the praises of human beings. So that's why, in order to feel special, I need to speak at this $20,000 worth of conference. In order to be significant, I need to be praised by my supervisor. In order to be significant, I need to gossip about others so that I look better than the people I gossip about. We want significance, but we look to the wrong places for significance. The other extreme is when people try to ignore that we are significant. I used to have a cousin who was an atheist, but now he's a Christian. He used to say that we're just molecules. We're not significant at all. We're just molecules. When we die, we just disintegrate into the ground. We just disappear. But the irony of it all was that he was also a vegetarian because he was an advocate of animal rights. He was also an advocate of all kinds of rights, you know, gay rights, minority rights, blah, 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 blah. And so I asked him, if you believe that we are not significant, that when you die, you're just molecules going into the ground, why do you spend your life fighting for all these rights? Then at the end of the day, what does all this mean? When you die, they just disappear. What's the point? Why are you fighting for animal rights and all this minority rights and all that? And he never could give me an answer. Because God has given within our hearts, as the book of Ecclesiastes puts it, eternity, a longing for significance. And sometimes we try to ignore that voice that God has given to us by looking at other sources for our significance or just ignoring them. And that's at the heart of what's wrong in the book of Nahum. The Assyrians, who are the enemies of Israel in the book of Nahum, try to silence this God-shaped voice for significance for the Israelites. How do they do that? Look with me in the passage that our sister Rita just read to us this morning in Nahum chapter 1. It'll be good if you can open your Bibles and follow along Nahum chapter 1 at verse 13. God gets to the heart of what was wrong. Why were the Assyrians so oppressive against the Israelites? And here is the reason. Now I will break your yoke and tear your shackles away. You see, at the heart of oppression, the Assyrians were treating the Israelites like animals. They were treating like the animals by putting a yoke upon them so that they can be moved around like oxen. It was a way in which the Assyrians were telling the Israelites, you are not significant, you don't matter. And this is what our society is telling to us today. You are not significant, you are only as significant as the next conference. You are only as significant as what your boss thinks about you, or you are just molecules. How are we significant? Why is it that God has given us this longing for significance? Three things about why we're significant to God. We're significant to God because we're here, firstly, to testify about God. We are created to talk and testify about God. So because the Assyrians have been trying to silence the voice of significance for the Israelites, God is turning things around, punishing the Syrians. And how is God punishing the Syrians? God is first going to punish the Syrians by wiping the names of the Syrians out. You see, in the ancient world, names testify to your God. Daniel, for instance, means God is my judge. David means beloved by God. Elijah means my God is Yahweh. Ancient people believed that the names spell out and testify to the greatness of the God that they believe in. So when God wants to meter out his punishment against Israel, the Assyrians for silencing and treating the people of Israel like animals, he wants to start off by wiping out the names of the Assyrians, because God is depriving the Assyrians the opportunity to tell the world how great their false gods were. So the first thing that God wants to do against the Assyrians because of treating the people of God like animals is in verse 14. The Lord has given a command concerning you, Nineveh. You will have no descendants to bear your name. You see, the Assyrians love their God, and one of their great gods is Asher. They're very zealous to spread the name of Asher across the lands. So they believe that Asher, that God, is so powerful that when the God appears through the people in different lands, the gods of the people will all cower and run towards Asher in obedience. So that is why the very first time we read about the Assyrians attacking the nation of Judah in the book of Kings was in the book of 2 Kings chapter 16. What did the king of Assyria this time demanded of the kingdom of Judah to pay him during this time? When the king of Assyria threatened the king of Judah this time, they asked for the king of Judah to send silver and gold specifically from the temple of God. Why? You see, the Assyrians believe that they are created to testify about their greatness, and all the other gods are fake gods, and they were all coming to Assyria. So whenever they conquer and try to conquer another land, the first thing they will ask is to ask for the image of the gods, because the image of the gods represent the gods. And the gods will come running towards their gods. So that when they subjugated the kingdom of Judah the first time in 2 Kings chapter 16, the first thing they ask about Judah is, give me your gold and silver and your temple. You see, Ancient Israel didn't have a statue of God. God never restricted himself to a statue. But they have gold and silver in God's temple. So by asking for the gold and silver, they were saying, now your gods are now under us. Our God is the greatest. We testify to the greatness of our God. Your God is now subjugated under me. And the second thing that the king of Assyria did against the Israelites was to attack them after they got the gold and silver. Because now, if their gods have left the people are weak. So under the king Hezekiah's reign, the Syrians finally lay siege against the kingdom of Judah. And says, now we've taken away your gods. We have taken your silver and gold. You don't even have a god in your city. You will now cower to us. You will now be defeated because your God has come running to us. But the amazing truth about scripture is that the Assyrians could not conquer the kingdom of Judah because they were wrong. By taking the gold and silver out of God's temple did not mean that you have removed God. God was still in Jerusalem and the people fell. Assyria thought that they were called to testify about their god Asher. But the god Asher is no god at all. It is the God of Israel that is the final true God. And now God is now trying in Nahum's time to remove the names of the Assyrians because now they cannot testify to their gods because their God is simply a no God. Why is this important for us? Because unless you believe that you are here to testify about God, about our God, about Jesus, we will promote ourselves instead. This is why many people nowadays are so harsh. You know, bosses were so harsh on their employees when their agendas are not followed. Why? Because they think that they are here to promote themselves and their agendas. And when you think that your role here is to promote your own agenda and your own God, you will become harsh and treat people like animals. This is why there are husbands who are over-controlling in a marriage because they think that they're here to promote themselves and their needs and their wants. And they become over-controlling. That's why wives, many wives are naggers in a marriage because they think that they're here to promote themselves. But God is saying, no, you're not here to promote. You're created to promote me. And not these false gods. It reminds me of a story about a pastor who recently wedded two people in the church. And during the ceremony, the pastor says, now the two of you shall become one. 2 months later, the couple came back to the pastor and asked, when you said the two shall become one, you didn't say which one. Is it my wife become one of me, or am I, or is it the other way around? We want to promote ourselves. Right? But our significance is not to promote ourselves. It's to testify about God. But secondly, we are significant not only because we're here to testify about God, but we're significant because we are carefully created by God. Secondly, God is trying to punish the Assyrians for mistreating the Israelites as animals because the Assyrians were teaching their captives that they were created by their gods. So here God is very angry at the Syrians and he's metering out the second punishment of the Syrians. I will destroy, verse 14, second part. I will destroy the images and the idols that are in the temple of your gods. One of the false truths that the Assyrians were teaching their captives and to their nations is that they were carefully created by their God. And now God is trying to destroy them, their gods, in this way. If you know a little bit about the Assyrians, you will know that what was the capital of Assyria during the time of Nahum? It's the city of Nineveh. The word Nineveh is a derivative of their god called Nina. Nina, in Assyrian mythology, is the goddess who created the Assyrians. The Nina is a fish god that has the head of a human being but has the body of a fish. And the Assyrians knew that they were very carefully crafted by Nina. And they were meticulously knitted in the womb and the belly of the fish of Nina. And finally, after Nina has knitted them together in their belly, they would be vomited out onto the seashore. And they were very special people because they were carefully crafted by Nina, the fish god. Therefore, is it coincidence that when the prophet Jonah, one of two books that describe the Assyrians, is it coincidence that when the prophet Jonah was on his way, running away from God, God allowed a big fish, a Gog in Hebrew, to swallow up Jonah? And just like the Assyrians were knitted by Nina carefully in the womb and in the belly for 3 days and three nights, Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a big fish. And what is very interesting is Jonah chapter 2 verse 10. Jonah chapter 2 verse 10 tells us that the fish vomited Jonah onto dry land, where the Assyrians could see. What is God saying here? You Assyrians think you are special because you came out of the belly of a fish called Nina. But you're special not because of that reason. Because I can send a prophet and he too can come out of the belly of the fish. You are special not because you are created by Nina, but because you are created by me. And this prophet Jonah now has been vomited on your shore to tell you about me. And that is why the Assyrians, what happened when they listened to Jonah? The Bible tells us that they turned from their wicked ways. Because the Jonah itself was such a powerful sign. Jesus understood that. Jesus called Jonah a sign. Was such a powerful sign that when the Assyrians saw it, they did not need any more sermon. They repented and turned from their evil ways. So why is God destroying the gods of Assyria? Because they are not special at all. We are not created by the gods of this world. We are created by God Himself. So what does this mean for us? It means that every human being is carefully crafted and created by God. So when you are placed in your office amongst people you don't feel comfortable working with, and you say, I need to get out because I hate these people. They don't listen to me. They're a bore. Oh, I want them out. Be reminded that God created them too. When you are amongst human beings, you are amongst the best of God's creation. That's why it's good to come to church on a Sunday rather than going to a beach. Why? Because you are among God's precious creation who are special to Him. We are not created by Nina, the fish god, but we are created by God Himself. Eugene Peterson once tells a story about one of his students who lived quite away from the college. And each morning before he goes out to the college, he would tell his wife, I'm going to immerse myself in God's creation today. Those were his parting words to his wife every morning. So on the third day, the wife was really exasperated and asked the husband, I think it's good if you can take a day off to immerse yourself in God's creation on the beach or in the forest. It's fine. But you need to go to class. You are a student. And the husband said, oh, I've been going to class every day. Then why do you say before you leave the house, I'm immersing myself in God's creation? Oh, he said, every day when I go to class and I'm surrounded by other human beings, when I'm on the bus surrounded by all other human beings, I'm immersing myself in God's creation. So when you feel uncomfortable in your workplace or in a church of people you don't like, don't hate them. They are precious. They're carefully created by God. And when we think that way, it allows you a new perspective to see and understand our enemies and people who do not like us. They are also God's carefully created people. Number three, why are we significant? Not only are we carefully created by God, not only are we here to testify about God's greatness, but we are special because we are stewards of God's grace. The Syrians thought they were invincible. At the height of their power, the Assyrian Empire was very big, or more correctly called the Neo-Assyrian Empire was huge. It stretched from Mesopotamia, which is modern-day Iraq, right into Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, and right down to Egypt. So they had quite a big piece of land that they were overseeing. And they thought they were invincible. But here God is saying, no, you're not. That's why the third punishment that God is assigning the Syrians is in verse 14, the third part. I will prepare your grave for you, Arval. What was wrong with the Syrians? They thought that all of this power belonged to them. But God is saying, no, they don't belong to you. If I want to remove them, I can't. You may think that you are invincible, but I will one day prepare your grave for you because you are too proud. And God indeed was serious about his threat of judgment. God didn't prepare a grave for the Syrians. In the year 612 BC, for instance, Assyria was completely destroyed by the Medes, the Scythians, and the Babylonians. And literally as a nation, they vanished. Until the year 1845, as I mentioned, when the British discovered the library of Ashurbanipal. What is left of Assyria today? Where is Assyria today? It's in an eastern suburb in the city of Mosul in Iraq. The city of Mosul is the second largest city in Iraq. The largest is Baghdad, obviously, and the second largest is Mosul. It's in a very eastern side of the city. It's only a small piece of land today. And you even see God's fulfilling up to this day. Because it's only a piece of land with two little hills on this piece of land. On one of the hills is the Nabi Yunis, which is the tomb of Jonah. And the other piece of the mount is just vacant right now. And Nabi Yunis is where they think that Jonah was buried. And there is now a mosque. There used to be a mosque there. And for years and years and years, there was always the debate as to whether to dig into this mosque, because some people think that there is a palace of Ashurbanipal buried underneath this mosque, but the Muslims would not allow the British to excavate the area. So for years and years, there was always this debate of whether or not to unearth beneath the tomb of Jonah. Finally, do you know what happened? What happened last year? The Muslims finally bombed it out. And the whole area was bombed out. And the tomb of Jonah is no more. So God is very serious about metering out this punishment. Even up to this day, God is still preparing a grave for the Assyrians because they think that they own everything. But our value is not in us. Our value comes because we are stewards of God's grace. So what should be our response? If we are created specially from God, by God Himself, we then shouldn't be as foolish as the animals thinking that we're just molecules put together. Then what then should we do? Verse 15. Look there on the mountains, the feet of the one who brings good news, who proclaims peace. Celebrate your festivals, Judah, and fulfill your vows. No more will the wicked invade you. They will completely destroy. God Himself will come and show us that we are not animals. And then what should be our response? We need to worship God. Celebrate the festivals with God and with God's people. Why? Because it's within the fellowship of God's people, it's within the worship of God's people that we begin to appreciate and learn more and more about the benefits of what it means to belong to God, to be special to God. What do I mean by that? I won't explain this through a story. Hudson Taylor tells of a time when he was going to China as a missionary. Before Hudson Taylor left for China, a rich businessman gave him a ticket for travel. This businessman said to Hudson Taylor, this ticket, that I'm presenting before you is more valuable than you think. It will bring you joy when you have a difficult time. So guard this ticket with your life. Hudson Taylor didn't really understand what the businessman was saying. But during the late 19th century, in order to go from England to London, to China, you have to board a ship, and it took them months. So in preparation for the trip, Hudson Taylor got for himself packages and packages of dried food to take along with him. He was hoping that the food would last him all these months on the ship. But when Hudson Taylor boarded the ship and off they were heading off to China, Hudson Taylor was very careful what he was eating, and he parceled all his food carefully. But then he saw on board there were people who were sick and needed a doctor, so he attended to them and gave them food. Finally, his food ran out. But there were restaurants on board the ship. Hudson Taylor didn't want to go because he wasn't wealthy enough to purchase a meal for himself. And he was very careful about the money that he had. So he huddled himself at the corner of the ship, almost dying of hunger. And day after day, he was there, almost dying of hunger. Until one day, the ship captain saw Hudson huddling in the corner and said, "Sir, show me your ticket." And Hudson Taylor showed the captain the ticket. And the captain said this, "Sir, you have a premium ticket on your hand. This means that you have access to all the food on this ship. That means that you have access to all the entertainment on this ship. The ticket says that you have already paid for it. You don't have to huddle here in hunger. But you just don't know what the ticket means." God has redeemed us by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are special in His eyes, because His Son died for us. But many a times we do not know the privileges it comes, such as we have the audacity now to approach God face to face in prayer. We have the access now to the prayers of the elders of the church that can call God for the healing of people who are sick. We now have access right now to God in such special ways. But we don't understand what the ticket entails. That is why we need the fellowship of the church. That's why we are freed by God to celebrate the festivals of God's people. Because it's interacting with people within the church. And we realize, oh, this ticket actually allows me to go and eat at the restaurant. This ticket actually tells me that I don't need to be hungry. Because we don't know the benefits. And that is why God says, "I've come here to free you from the yoke of the Assyrians, so that what? So that you can live a life of sinfulness? No. So that you can celebrate your festivals, Judah, and fulfill your vows and know how good and blessed you are." This week I was talking to a church member who says, "Oh, I'm no longer coming to church." I wanted to say to this church person, "Are you serious? Are you really serious? Because that's something you say unless it's your last resort, that you're not coming to church. Because coming to church is more than just spending time together on a Sunday morning. It's to work together with your brothers and sisters, to celebrate the festivals of your brothers and sisters, and to know how privileged we are that what we have in our hands is so good. But the problem is we don't know how to use it." Father, we just come before you this morning and we thank you, Lord God, for your word to us. But in our foolishness, we think very little of the value that you've placed on our lives. So Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you that you have created us for significance, that our lives here are not just molecules being added together, but we're created by you and for you. Many times we do not realize that. And that should change the way we view ourselves and our relationships. We are created to tell of the goodness of God, not for our own agendas, so we don't have to lord it over other people, so that we don't have to see our enemies as enemies, but they're divinely created by you. And many times we do not know the benefits of what it means to be loved by you. So we need the encouragement of the saints. We need to celebrate your festivals together with you and with your people. Father, we thank you that you do not treat us as animals with a yoke placed upon our necks, but you have come to set us free so that we may worship you and to know more and more about the privileges and the honor of being the child of the great King. Thank you for stewarding us with such an honor. And Father, as we come before you this morning, we look to you. For those who are struggling in their relationships, whether it's at work, at home, the person that you cannot stand is not just an animal, but it's also divinely created by God. Ask God to give you the eyes to see that, to see his handiwork in all of creation, especially his people. And for those of us who are feeling lonely and down, open our eyes to see that we are divinely created for the King and for his glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.